You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Charlie is on with us right now.
Charlie, where were you last night? Which studio were you?
Well, I'm in L.A.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
I do all the post, all the pre and the post,
yep.
And then that they have in L.A. And then I was on digital off and on in the first round.
Wow.
So that's what I do. And I the same thing today and then same thing tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm on some during the draft.
I don't know how you do it, Charlie.
I'm on my way into work right now. So
That's unbelievable.
Did you even sleep?
Yeah, you're operating about 3 hours of sleep, I bet.
Well, a little less than 3 hours last night, but I got a little bit of sleep the night before, so we're okay.
Hey, you can sleep with all those dollars that come in from the NFL Network and NBC Sports.
Yeah. Too busy
you
count that
pillow with dollars.
Yeah, just stuff that pillow.
It's all good with all those checks.
All right, so Charlie, before...
Well, that's why you get up early in the morning, too.
That's true. You're not kidding. It's a good comeback.
This is not a charity.
Before we get into the Redskins, I'd love to hear your take again on what happened there at the very, very top of the draft. This was one of those years where nobody really knew what was going to happen until a few hours before it became obvious that they were going to go Baker Mayfield, which shocked a lot of people. Kind of your take on what the Browns did. If you read the quotes, it seemed like the biggest thing they loved about this guy was his moxie, his attitude.
Well, that's true. That's true. And as any decision, it's never unanimous there. Our guys on Path of the Draft, the show I'm on, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we talked about this. So we talked about the influence of Scott McLuhan, who liked him. Dorsey had been out and had talked about, he's out of football last year, the number of games he went to. And so you could see there were some dots there that would like him. And I think that they felt that Sam Darnold, opposite of what conventional thinking is of most teams, wasn't ready at this point in time, maybe a little bit too young. And I think that kind of swung him over. And that it was between him and Josh Allen. And Allen is like the big, strong R guy. And if you think of Roethlisberger and you think of Todd Haley as the offensive coordinator, you connect those dots. Now, I didn't. My top guy was Darnold. I polled 24 teams. 17 of them out of 24 had Darnold number one. Mayfield had 3 votes, so it was overwhelmingly for Darnold.
Yeah,
but they chose Mayfield.
So, Charlie, the Jets had to be thrilled that the top guy on their board, as you mentioned, Darnold, falls to them at 3. They made the trade up with the Colts to get that 3rd spot. I'm guessing they didn't have any visions of Darnold being there and available at 3 where they were picking.
No, because you got to remember, they made this trade to get to 3 blind.
Right.
And, no, they didn't do it irresponsibly because they had made a decision. They would take their 3rd-rated quarterback because that was the worst-case scenario. And they felt good about that. So they really went in there, I guess to use a term, if it's correct, as you guys would know this term, house money. In other words, hey, they had already won when they got to 3. So, and if you go back to last spring when they cut all those veterans, everybody said, well, they're going to tank it. Well, those veterans never amounted to anything. And guess what? They overachieved and won 5 games, 5 more than Cleveland did. And I don't know that they had a better team than Cleveland. And then all of a sudden, they had to make the move to get back up. So, absolutely, I mean, they were thrilled. They loved the guy. And the Giants didn't think twice about taking Barkley. But if they were looking for a quarterback, I'm sure they would have taken Darnold.
So, do you believe that there at 1, based on the people you talked to, that it was a reach? Mayfield was a reach at 1.
Mayfield?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be the consensus of teams in the league. And it would have been mine. I thought all 4 of these top quarterbacks had more positives than negatives, and I could see each one of them becoming an effective quarterback in the NFL. But I had Darnold 1, Rosen 2, Mayfield 3, Allen 4.
Did they really believe that Mayfield would go before 4? Why wouldn't they take Barkley 1 and then still get their guy Mayfield at 4?
Well, you got to be worried about the Jets at 3. See? You don't know what the other teams are going to do. You knew one team was going to take a quarterback. You couldn't be sure about the Giants and whether they would take a quarterback or not. So when you're in that situation and it counts for real, you take the guy. and you don't gamble. You only gamble if you don't mind losing them. And evidently, they minded losing them, so that's why they did it.
Charlie, it almost sounds like you're on a horse. Are you walking right now? I thought I heard a horse galloping.
No, I'm in a car.
In a car.
Okay. Anyway.
All right, so let's get to the Redskins. They draft another defensive lineman from Alabama in Daron Payne. Tell us what your take on him is and how he fits in with the Redskins.
Well, clearly it's a major need for him because they didn't need one, they needed two. And Payne is an excellent player, especially against the run. This was the range he was going to go in the draft. I had Vita Bay ahead of him, but probably everybody else did too. So, fortunately, Tampa surprised everybody and made a great move getting him. But plays the run excellent, good technician, not a lot of pass production. But when you look at the tape, you see flashes, you see quickness, you see some hand use, you see technique that could be improved, and perhaps by just putting the hand on the ground and letting him shoot the gap and be aggressive, more aggressive coming off the ball, you feel he can get better as a pass rusher. You start with an effective run player and potentially get better as a pass rusher.
Right. And guys from Bama, they're just ready to play in the league right away. Not that every Bama defensive player is a stud at the next level, but they're usually ready to play.
They are. And they've been coached well. Their techniques are very good. Again, I think there's room for improvement as a pass rusher, and I think Jim Thomasul is an excellent technician as a coach. So I think he will improve. The important thing here is now they got two-thirds of a defensive line. Last year, before at this time, they had zero-thirds of a defensive line. So now it's beginning to come together. Well, it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
They had a lot of backups.
No, you're right.
So, but they've invested now two first-round picks.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought that's what they had to do. I thought when you just watched the highlights that Vea popped more, but as you said, he probably was higher on everyone's board and went just before him. So I was thrilled that they took Payne. I'm glad they didn't go with what I considered a luxury item. When you're 32nd in the NFL in rush defense and you're perennially in the bottom four or five against the run, you need to be more stout up front. I liked it. What is your take on James and what kind of pro he'll be? Because apparently in the room, it was between those two guys.
Well, that makes sense. I think James was the best value pick in the first round, meaning he went 17 and I had him as a top 10 player.
Right.
I think James has the Pro Bowl potential, quicker than Payne. I think as a player, I saw him on tape in one game. And I say it was multiple games, I should say, play strong safety, free safety, line up at nickel corner, run with a wide receiver, and play nickel linebacker. So right off the bat, you know he's smart.
Right.
He's versatile. He can cover for a safety. So I think he was exceptional for his position. But so he may make the Pro Bowl, but I think you're going to have a long-time player. Payne's Kerrigan, if you want to put it in that perspective.
Right.
Except they play different positions where Kerrigan has an opportunity to get more sacks. Payne will help the run and play and get more tackles.
Right. I loved it. Again, I thought that's what they needed to address. They've needed to address it for years. They did last year and this year. How much, though, did the Giants drafting Barkley affect that at all? Because now you got Barkley, you got Zeke Elliott, you have to face those guys a couple times every year. Or do you think regardless of what they did, that's where they were going to go?
Regardless of what they did, I believe that. What was their number one priority?
Yeah.
So what anybody else did didn't make any difference.
Right.
Joined by Charlie Casserly, former Redskins and Texans GM, now an analyst for NFL Network and NBC Sports Washington. So at the very end of the first round, the Ravens, who made a bunch of trades and traded back and forth, they selected Lamar Jackson. And it's interesting because Lamar Jackson, totally different type of quarterback than Joe Flacco, who's a little bit older. Ozzie Newsome is going to be moving on from his position, and they're going to have a new guy running the show. But they also have RG3 there. How do you see this playing out the next couple of seasons?
Well, RG3's durability, I mean, you know it as well as I do. I just don't see him being durable. I mean, I'm not rooting against the guy, just dealing with facts here. I want to know some answers, too, on this one because, you know, but it happens with other teams. In Kansas City with Mahomes, you have Alex Smith. One type of quarterback, and Mahomes is, he's not ready to be in the NFL from the spread. But this guy is a runner. I mean, when I watched Louisville tape, they literally ran an option offense where they ran the option and this guy ran. Now, and that's not, he's not going to survive in the NFL doing that. Now, the offensive, one of the offensive coach, assistant head coach, Greg Roman, well, Coach Kaepernick. And so he can install the system with the quote RPOs and the run option. The system Shanahan put in for RG3. But that's not a long-term solution in the NFL. That's a changeup. So what's going to happen is over a period of time, Jackson's going to have to learn how to become a pocket quarterback, more patience in the pocket, read defenses, go through progressions. I don't know you become more accurate as a quarterback. Now, clearly, he's an exciting athlete. He can make big plays. You have to think of Cam Newton and the offense. And Cam Newton has obviously had success in the NFL. But Cam Newton's 250 pounds. I mean, when Cam Newton runs, I mean, he's going to run over people.
Yeah.
This guy's going to run around him. In the NFL, the speed catches up to him.
Well,
so
wouldn't he be more like
Michael
Vick?
He's just going to have to become a better pocket quarterback.
Wouldn't he be more like a Michael Vick? And I know on one of the broadcasts last night, I believe on your network, NFL Network, they were saying Marty Morningweg coached Michael Vick in Philly.
At the end of his career, when they were trying to make him a pocket quarterback, and it ultimately didn't succeed. This guy's not Vick now coming out of college. Vic was built like a running back. Vic could have gone and played running back, and I think had a career at it. This guy's build is more of a linear wide receiver, so that's number one. Number two, Vic's statistics, people point to them and not being accurate in college, but Vic, to me, was more accurate. Without breaking it down, Vic had more downfield throws. He had more presence in the pocket than this guy did coming out. Now, ultimately, Vic was not a successful pocket quarterback, but he was an explosive athlete who, obviously had a good run in there in Atlanta as a quarterback. So I think you have all the right questions. We'll have to see how Baltimore handles. It's fascinating because you're going to have to piecemeal this guy, the offense, if you're going to try to have him be Flacco. Now, I'm sure they'll put in packages for him. But you can't compare this guy to Watson. Watson was ahead of this guy coming out in the drop-back system and what he did in calling things at the line of scrimmage. And I saw Watson improve dramatically in reading defenses. From the first game he played, he was in there with Cincinnati. I mean, he was doing a good job reading defenses. But remember this, he didn't finish the year either now.
That's right. Charlie, real quick, your thoughts on Buffalo trading up to get Allen and then Arizona trading up to get Josh Rosen. We had four quarterbacks go in the top 10. That hasn't happened in a long time, if ever.
It was predictable that it was going to try. They were going to try. Whether they could execute it, we didn't know. We knew Arizona was trying to trade up. Buffalo was trying to trade up. And both of them, fortunately, were able to get up and each get a quarterback. And like I said, all four of these have a chance. So we'll just have to see how history plays this out.
Charlie, do you like DJ Moore's landing spot at 24 in Carolina?
I do. I think Norv Turner will take a receiver and feature him, and it's a timing passing game with him. So I think DJ Moore will be effective. I'm anxious to see Cam Newton run Norv Turner's offense. That to me, and Aikman actually pointed that out last night in a very diplomatic way. So it'll be interesting. But I'm happy for DJ Moore. How about our special? We had three first rounders in there.
That's right.
And Loletta is the star of the day coming up.
Very good.
That was what, the two Edmonds kids and Moore?
That's right.
Yeah. And Loletta.
Edmonds was more or less a feature thing. Now, I got to give you a quick story here. You'll appreciate this because you do call-ins.
Right.
I get a call about 27th pick in the draft. It's Howie. It's Howie who? Howie Roseman. You don't sound like Howie Roseman. Oh, I got a cold. What do you want here? Because it was a 2-6 number. It wasn't a Philly number. Oh, just wanted to let you know I'm tipping you off. We're trading up to get, and they gave me the name of the receiver from LSU. I said,
Sark.
You're not Howie Roseman. Hang up the phone. It wasn't Howie Roseman.
That is hilarious. You're on it,
people,
Charlie.
Playing shenanigans on you there.
You're on it, though.
All right, Charlie.
Well, I'm getting ready for my call-in radio days.
Yes. You can do it. All right, thank you, Charlie. We appreciate it as always, buddy.
Hey, always great to be with you guys.
All right, yep. Man.
Good
thank
talking,
you.
Call in at 4 in the morning.
Charlie needs to get a nap later today after the second round is done.
I need a nap. I went to bed about 7 hours before.
Yeah, well, of course. It goes without saying that we need naps.
Yes.
I just know that Charlie desperately needs one.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Our pal Kevin McCarthy, he likes JP. To talk movies and wear crazy suits.
He does, yes. It's kind of his thing.
Good morning, John Paul Flynn.
Hey, Kevin, how are you doing today? Do you know who the number one pick in the NFL draft was last night?
I didn't even know there was an NFL draft happening. Is there really one? You know what's actually funny about that is I saw Drab tweet last night about like something shocking happening, and I thought he had just seen Infinity War. I had no idea that there was some NFL draft happening. Literally, and then his next tweet was about that. I'm like, I didn't even know there was a draft occurring.
Are you serious? You talk about probably living in a bubble, because we all follow.
You're living in a bubble.
Well, hold on. I follow some entertainment sites. I follow, obviously, like the Adam Schefters of the world,
sure.
Or, you know, baseball guys, sports guys, obviously, but also entertainment stuff. Kevin probably strictly follows, like in a social media sphere,
The Rock.
Yeah. Like,
right.
Entertainment
other movie
stuff.
Critics.
So he has no idea what's going on in the world.
I don't even know if he knows how the draft works. Can you tell us kind of, in 30 seconds or less, how you believe the NFL draft works?
I have absolutely no idea. The only thing I know about the NFL draft was that Tom Brady was like a very, very low pick or whatever, but he ended up being a great quarterback.
Correct.
But he didn't go first round, which was like a whole story because he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
How many rounds are there in the NFL draft?
No idea. I would even go as far as to say when RG3 goes to the Ravens, does he go through another draft? I have no idea how that works.
All right, hold on. Last question. Just take a guess.
I genuinely have no idea.
Take a guess how many rounds there are in a draft.
Just guess.
23? I have no idea.
Yeah,
I have no clue.
You're close.
Yeah. How many are there?
Seven, Rick. And answer your question, RG3 was not drafted again. You get drafted once.
Right.
Well, technically, he was drafted to the Ravens, right?
Yeah, he was drafted.
Aren't you still drafted?
Yeah, they drafted.
No.
Hey, Kevin, when's my movie coming out with Joaquin Phoenix?
Oh, dude, I haven't seen that yet. I want to see that. But this week, though, particularly, is the most Eric Bickle film of the year. I can't wait to get into. I can't wait to get into all the reasons why Eric Bickle's going to love this movie. So
he hasn't even heard of the Avengers. He couldn't name one.
I mean, I've heard of the term. Right. I didn't know it was coming out.
Yeah, but Jason, I am going to see that Joaquin Phoenix film soon. I've been traveling like crazy. I always update Jason on my travel schedule. Jason, I literally was in LA until Tuesday, and then I got home at 2 a.m, and then I flew back to LA yesterday, and now I'm in LA again.
What a nightmare of a life.
It's 4 a.m. here. I'm interviewing Jane Fonda tomorrow, so I'm excited about that.
You're excited about interviewing Jane Fonda?
I never talked to Jane Fonda before. I'm interviewing her and Don Johnson and Mary Steenburgen. Why? She's an amazing actress.
Yeah. He just lives for stuff like that.
You guys can join. I watch your show on Netflix.
We can't relate.
What show?
Grace and Frankie?
Tomlin show. Frankie and Jay. Yeah, yeah. The awesome
Frankie
show.
And Grace, whatever it is.
You're the wrong demo.
It's an old people show for sure, but it's funny.
All right, tell us about this dumb movie that's coming out.
Is this
tonight.
The one that I'm going to be into?
Oh, this dumb movie, yeah. Well, first of all, it's the biggest movie of the year. Let's go all through all the reasons why Eric Bickle's going to be excited about this.
Yeah,
so Eric,
he's been doing shit.
All right, so Eric, here's the deal, Eric. It's the Avengers Infinity War. So Eric, the main villain in the movie is a huge purple supernatural being called Thanos. And in this movie, he's trying to collect 6 Infinity Stones to put on his Infinity Gauntlet so that he can wipe out half the universe. I know you're already in at this point.
It's 2 hours and 40 minutes long.
Kevin, one sec. Yeah. Let's take a step back. Why is he only trying to wipe out half of the universe?
Well, he has to live in part of it.
Well, the idea, I mean, again, I'm not going to spoil anything. And then people listening on the radio or watching on CSN, there's literally no spoilers that are going to happen in the review today. But Thanos' character, yeah, so half the universe, what happens with the Infinity Gauntlet is if he snaps his fingers, it wipes out half of the universe. Trillions of people and beings, and not just Earth, and this is on the entire universe. But yeah, so the Avengers have to team up with Doctor Strange and Black Panther and the Guardians of the Galaxy and Spider-Man.
It's ridiculous. Are you looking at the cast?
It's not the sort of Doctor Strange that you would be into.
This is the cast. Robert Downey Jr., Chris Pratt, Chris Evans, Josh Brolin, Chris Hemsworth, Scarlett Johansson, Benedict Cumberbatch, Tom Hunt. I mean, this cast is ridiculous. Renner, Vin Diesel.
How would they pay all of them?
I was at the premiere for this on Monday night in L.A., and I'll tell you right now, I've never seen anything like it before, and they shut down Hollywood Boulevard, and because the movie is so big, they had three screens going, so they had the Dolby Theater where the Oscars are held, then they had the El Capitan, then they had the TCL Chinese, and I got to go to this premiere. I don't know how I got in the premiere. I've never been to a premiere that big in my life, and the theater I was in was the theater that the entire cast was in. But let me give you a scope of how big of a deal this film is. I was sitting in the fan press section, and in my section was Kevin Hart, Angela Bassett, Lawrence Fishburne, Samuel L. Jackson. And then so that's just the fan section, right? So then below us is where the cast was sitting, where we're, you know, Robert Downey Jr., nobody had seen the movie yet. So we were all watching the film for the first time. They specifically kept the film from the cast until that night. So everybody you can imagine, Hemsworth, Downey Jr., Don Cheadle, Josh Brolin, they all come out on stage and then they get down and sit in their seats. And it's this 2-hour and 40-minute masterclass in storytelling. And the entire theater, once the film ended, not only was everybody's jaw hit the floor, but people were silent. People were shaking. And I'm not exaggerating. People were shaking when they left the theater because it was so shocking. I can't tell you why, because it's
what's your rating? We have a prediction here. It's a 4.5, isn't it?
I'm going to guess it's a five.
It's a five. Whoa.
Yeah, well, there are people who are listening to your show that want to know about this movie because it's a huge film. Basically, my review points for it are it balances character and story perfectly. The action's amazing. It's one of the darkest, most emotional, most jaw-dropping endings you'll ever see in a film. The action, again, is so well done. They infuse comedy beautifully in the movie as well. And this is the Russo brothers, the guys who directed Winter Soldier and Civil War. So you have to know what you're getting into. Those are my two favorite MCU films. So go see it. It was shot entirely on IMAX cameras, digital, and there's an end credit scene, and that's all I'm going to tell you. It is a masterclass in storytelling. Josh Brolin, by the way, who plays Thanos through performance capture like Andy Serkis, he is absolutely brilliant. He is the star of the movie. The whole movie is based around his character.
By the way, let me just say, you love it when guys put on that suit with all the sensors. And
I do.
You love that bit. You love Andy Serkis and Planet of the Apes. I think it's your favorite thing.
I'll say this, if you're a fan of the MCU, Eric, this is another reason why you'll love this movie. So there are 18 films prior to this that you need to watch before seeing this one, and I'm not exaggerating. What I'm thinking for you, Eric, is why don't you dedicate your whole weekend and you can watch all 18 films, and then you and I will go see the 19th film, which is this movie, together next week, and we can hold hands, we can have popcorn together.
I just think
it'd be a really good bonding thing. I'll come over to your house. We'll watch all 18 films, starting with Iron Man 2008 up until Black Panther, and then we'll go see Infinity War.
What if you've only seen the Iron Man movies and maybe like one Hulk movie?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm not exaggerating. There are 18 movies, but JP brings up a good question. What do you need to see before Infinity War? I think the most important films to see before Infinity War are probably the first two Avengers, Captain America Civil War, and Doctor Strange.
Haven't seen any of those.
Here's the thing, though. I will say this. This is actually interesting how they pulled this off. This is a 2-hour and 40-minute movie that feels like it's less than an hour, But when you're watching it, you're never confused because they actually explain the plot within the characters because they're all meeting for the first time. Like the Avengers have never met Guardians. So it's like it's kind of works itself out exposition-wise. So you kind of follow it perfectly. It's awesome.
By the way, EB, I know you don't know anything about Guardians of the Galaxy, but Bradley Cooper...
Sounds like a video game.
Bradley Cooper plays a raccoon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Just letting you know.
How is that possible?
He just does. He voices a raccoon.
Oh.
Cakes, let's get into some more things why Eric will like this movie. So, yeah, he plays a raccoon, but that raccoon is played by an actor on set with a suit before Bradley Cooper does the voice. Now, Eric, and a couple other reasons why you'll like the movie. There's a masterful wizard named Doctor Strange. He's amazing. You have Thor, who's a god from Asgard. You have Iron Man. You have War Machine. You have Captain
America.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Kevin McCarthy.
And by the way, Kevin, you should be arrested for wearing that suit.
I like it. It's a good bit.
Oh, I didn't even bother to see his dumb ass.
He should be arrested.
It's perfect.
I think he buys those for $100 a pop.
Yeah, he does.
Right? There's a website.
I'm sure he can write them off. I mean, it's part of his business.
That looks like a film I'd really like to see.
How many of those characters, EB, are you going to wear up? You know the Hulk.
You got to be kidding me.
The only one he can ID is the Hulk because he's big and green.
Right.
Look at that loser.
Look at him. How does Fox keep you employed?
Love you, Kevin. Never change, ever.
And he'll be on Fox and Friends like right after Newt Gingrich.
That's crazy.
That's always amazed me. He'll like they'll sandwich him in between legitimately like the Speaker of the House and the Vice President.
They love
and
him.
Then they sandwich in his movie.
Who are the chicks on that show? Like he used to have Elizabeth Hasselbeck that would flirt with him. Who do they have? Oh, that Ainsley Earhart.
Yeah,
she probably flirts.
She's pretty hot.
Does she flirt with you, Kev?
No, I mean Ainsley's married. She has kids. She's a wonderful person.
So was Elizabeth.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Elizabeth used to flirt with you a little
married
bit.
Married women don't flirt.
No, but it was. Flirting wasn't.
Played him off twice.
And he still didn't answer my question. Still didn't answer my question. I just want to know when that dumb movie's coming out.
Hey,
he won't answer the question.
I want to get back into the Redskins draft. That's what I care about.
I do want to
come at Infinity War.
It's not a 23-round NFL draft, which is what Kevin believes it to be.
There are a bunch of Gruden clips on paint. We played two of them.
Yes.
I'm a Redskins fan. I'm actually the only Redskins fan in this room. Yeah. I want to hear all of them.
Good. Let's hear
I want to hear all
what about
of
Payne? Does Payne have any clips?
And we've got Payne clips.
All right, let's do it.
And we can bang out your call.
And Kevin in the background is painful as well.
God, make him go away.
Cut him off.
God, make him go away. Rip his microphone away.
Papa squeeze.
Look at him. How can you hire him?
He entertains me.
Not me.
He entertains me.
That makes one of us.
You're smiling and laughing.
JP's laughing like
he is entertaining.
He's got his teeth out over there. He loves him.
Right now on the Junkies, get more details at thefandc.com/contest.
When are we scheduling the chalk outline talk to talk about the Caps after they lose the Pens?
Put that on the calendar.
I think we just did.
Valdez, please put that on the calendar.
Well, if they don't win game two.
Bits for down the line.
It might be Monday when you schedule it.
Hey, you're always looking for revenue, right? Always looking for outside revenue, not NTR, non-traditional revenue, chalk outline talk. Let's look into that. Sorry, I'm in a dark place.
All right, Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, joins us.
What's up, Seahoff?
I think I'm doing better than anybody who's talking about the Caps.
I'll be fine.
Well, it was just a bad loss.
You don't have kids. He has a daughter that's so vested in the Caps that she goes to bed crying sometimes.
Last night was an improvement. She didn't go to bed crying.
Did you?
I did not. No, okay. I had two beers.
Drinking.
I'm drinking.
Have you ever cried after a Caps loss in your life?
Have I ever?
I'm sure we've asked you this before.
Have I ever cried after a Caps loss? This is
probably
a good
not.
Question. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're forlorn.
But again, I can solve it with alcohol. So I drank two beers during the game, and then
you
as soon
nuts.
As the beer,
but two
as soon
beers doesn't give you a buzz.
No, but as soon
oh,
as
it
the
numbs
game,
the pain.
As soon
pain.
As the game was over,
100%.
It looked like perfect time to go to bed, and I said, "Well, I think I need one more just to help numb it a little bit." So I sprinted.
You know what numbed the pain for me?
The
Tramadol.
So I sprinted downstairs. And
see, I took it last night.
And I had a Corona Light right before
the
bed.
The night before, I didn't take it.
Squeezed a big old lime into it.
I had a fitful night of sleep. You take Tramadol, you sleep well.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm in my bed watching the game, Seahawk. And my daughters are walking around up on the top floor just taking showers and getting ready for doing homework.
Right.
And I'm watching the game in my bed. Lights are off. Dogs at the foot of the bed.
And this is 7:15 p.m. for him.
Yes.
No, it was
games. That's why he doesn't have bags. I'm jealous.
This was 2-0, so mm-hmm. It was probably 8-something. So Penn score. Ava's my daughter. She was walking around. Ava, it's 2-0 Caps. All right, cool. Ava, it's 2-1 now. Really? Okay. Ava, it's 2-2. What? Ava, it's 3-2 Pens. Are you kidding me? And that was within 4 minutes.
Yeah, it was right. Quick.
I mean, she thought I was just messing with her.
Well, no, my son walked his buddy out. He had a buddy come over, and they were hanging out after the game. He walked his buddy out to the car, came back, and they had scored 2 goals.
Right.
Well, they scored in
2 goals?
When they scored the first and second, was that within
2 minutes?
2 minutes. I thought I was going to say about a minute, minute and a half.
Yeah,
it was bad. We had it on a couple computers in the room out of Redskins Park. And by the way, your daughter's correct response to, hey, we're up 2-0 was, oh, crap. That's the worst score for the Capitals.
Well, next time
the
I tell that, she probably will say that.
Yeah.
Hold 2-0 leads for whatever reason. No.
Was Redskins Park a buzz?
For the Caps or
for their pick?
I think it was, I wouldn't say it was buzz. It was. Like, okay, we get that.
They prefer Vita Vea? I don't know if anybody asked.
We don't.
Them.
We asked in the press conference.
He skirted the question.
He didn't. Jay's not going to give that answer. Right.
Which means
I don't know.
Vea was higher.
I don't know.
Probably.
I mean, maybe. My understanding was that they thought of those guys in the relative same tier. Obviously, they had one ahead of the other, but I don't think there was a huge difference in there. I know there wasn't a huge difference in their eyes between those two. And I also know that when it came down to it with the guys that were available, it came down to Derwin James and Durant.
What I don't understand is why it just seems so obvious to me. So many people that I respect really felt like they should have gone with Derwin James, and to me, that's almost like a luxury item. The much bigger need was up front.
I agree.
Bad against the run. Why would you consider that if you have two guys rated equally? Why would you go with the safety? When you've been 32nd in the league against a run, and you've been in the bottom 5 or 6 for the last 4 or 5 years.
Because it's a passing league, you need guys who can cover tight ends.
Now, here's the counter.
And Derwin James, he's a good run tackler, too. I mean, he's just a good all-around player.
What if you had spent a little more money on Hankins, maybe, in free agency, then you plug that hole, and then you have the luxury of being able to draft James out of Florida State?
Sure. But
I like that.
I think the people that want Derwin James don't think that James and Payne are equal players. They think James is better. And the Redskins didn't see it that way. And by the way, I talked to another non-Redskin scout who said he's got him in the same tier as well. So this is not some unique opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That those guys are relatively equal. I think everyone thinks James is better because he was consistently mocked in the top 10. Everyone had him going 7 at Tampa. So it's like, oh my God, he's a top 10 player.
And by the way, where did he end up going? Like 18 or 17?
Yeah,
17,
The league told you that Derwin James was not as good as the hype in terms of being a prospect. Now, at the same time, I think a lot of people think he's really good. The same scout that told me, you know, James and Payne were in the same tier. I remember talking to him at the combine, and he was like, Derwin James is a stud. Mm-hmm. That dude's on the board. You take him. But at the same time, you know, he fell down to 18. So a lot of teams made that determination. Whether something came up in their evaluation as they got deeper in the process, or teams didn't need safeties, then, well, James winds up going farther down.
In particular, the Redskins, you pointed this out on your Twitter account and social media, that it highlights how high they are on Monte Nicholson.
They love the kid. And look, if you watch him last year,
he plays when he's on the field.
If you watch him last year, you see why. The concern with Monte is just health. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it was going back to Michigan State. He was hurt at Michigan State. Nevertheless, you know, last year only playing a couple of games, but man, when he was on the field, they were so different. I think he was as big of a loss as Jonathan Allen last year because he just covered so much. And also what he allowed DJ Swearinger to do in terms of just playing in the box on top of, you know, his own ability over the top, that kind of dual impact that he has on this defense is massive. And so having a guy like that is important. The thing is, they have it, and they just need to try to get Nicholson healthy as opposed to trying to replace him after one season.
Yeah, that's kind of silly. Eric, you're right. I mean, they felt like that was the bigger need.
Yeah.
And that's why they went with Payne. I wonder if they would have taken Payne, even if Vea was available, if they would have taken Payne anyway just because of the connection with Jonathan Allen and Ryan Anderson. I don't know if that comes into play at all.
I mean, not really. I think they're going to take the guy they think is the better player.
But they did watch tape of those guys playing together, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jay alluded to it.
I mean, look, they noticed Payne last year when they studied Jonathan Allen and Ryan Anderson, which tells you something about how much that guy popped. I think the interesting one is if Fitzpatrick had been on the board. You know, do they go, look, I don't know if whether Nicholson gets hurt and he plays safety, or whether we play him in slot corner, whatever it is, we feel like we can find a place for Minka Fitzpatrick. I do kind of wonder, and maybe it is.
But that's
is
the same argument, though. I'd still have the same argument. You still have the bigger need up front.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just think I think Fitzpatrick's on a different level.
So tell us what the front seven.
By the way, I wonder if Miami, if Arizona didn't trade up to 10 and Rosen's sitting there at 11 for Miami, if they would have taken him. Because Aikman made a point. He said Adam Gase loves Tannehill. So they may have passed on him, too. And I don't know where Rosen would have gone after that.
Yeah. Well, you wonder if all of a sudden the Redskins could have made a trade with somebody. Maybe Arizona comes
up. Maybe they
come
to 13, right?
Yeah.
So kind of tell us what the front seven is going to look like based on what they have right now, kind of the depth chart with the defensive line and the linebackers.
It actually, I mean, I think it looks pretty good. You know, you got Allen Ioannidis and Payne up front, and you got guys like Ziggy Hood and Phil Taylor and Stacey McGee and Terrell McClain all floating out there trying to make, you know, battle for spots on this roster as backups, which is a quality group of backups as long as they're playing minimal snaps. But you got your studs now up front, Allen Ioannidis, Payne.
You know, it's interesting. Charlie referred to him, though, as two-thirds of a D-line when we had him on. So he's obviously not a fan of Matt Ioannidis, but who came on?
He was awesome last year. He was really good.
Yeah, so I guess he's not a fan of Ioannidis.
He was especially good when Allen was healthy.
Yes, absolutely. So you got at least two premier players you're hoping. If you spend a first-round pick, 13 on a guy, you're hoping Payne is premier.
Yeah,
Allen, we know,
could be studs for a
premier,
long time, yeah.
If he can stay healthy. And then whatever Ioannidis is, which is at least a good player.
And then with Ryan Anderson, we really just don't know how good he's going to be.
But then you got Preston Smith, Ryan Kerrigan, and then Brown and Foster. And by the way, I know Mason's psyched. He was tweeting about it, and I also was texting with him a little bit last night. He said it's a great pick. He's not going to see a lot of offensive linemen getting up on him. And that's the biggest thing.
Edmonds.
Yeah, probably is.
Right.
But they, you know, with guys like Brown and Foster, who are so good against the run and getting downhill, if you keep them clean, you have guys who can eat double teams and not let those guards come off double teams and get up to the second level and get a body on Foster and Brown. Those guys can shoot gaps and get downhill and do what they do and play physically. And this run defense can be a lot more of what it was at the beginning of last year, as opposed to what it was at the end.
Significantly better.
Yeah.
Significantly
better. I mean, they were good at the beginning of last year, and then the injury started to pile up, and then they finished dead last.
Right.
What about at the top of the draft with Baker going one, and then, you know, Giants jumping all over Barkley? But now, no one will ever know this, but do you believe that the Jets would have taken Baker Mayfield at three? I don't think so. I don't think they would have taken Mayfield over Darnold. Just my opinion. So,
but who would have gone? Who would have gone one then in that scenario?
I'm saying Cleveland could have probably gotten Barkley and still got Mayfield at four.
Yeah, no, I mean it's possible. I think the Jets. Yeah, I think the Jets probably wanted Darnold all along. I mean, they're an organization that now has a guy with Todd Bowles who's a lot more even keeled. But for it almost feels like that's more of a Giants than a Jets pick. Like, hey, let's get the even keeled guy who's not gonna get a ton of headlines because he's boring as hell. And Sam Darnold's really boring. But that's exactly what the Jets need. It's a lot of what this franchise needed with a guy like Kirk and a guy like Alex is the same way, where you're just not going to get the crazy headlines from the quarterback position. You let the craziness happen elsewhere in the organization. And so I think, yeah, but that was so risky. You couldn't, if you're John Dorsey,
it's risky.
Couldn't, unless you loved two of the quarterbacks and thought you could get one, you had to take
The Giants obviously didn't want a quarterback. I think if the Browns take Barkley, the Giants probably take Chubb there too, because they're not going to take a quarterback. And then I just think the Jets really wanted Darnold just based on their reactions.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they could have gotten Barkley.
They didn't think they had a shot at Darnold.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. Yeah.
So, because I think there were some people in the Giants building that liked Darnold. And so I don't know how easy of a decision that was. I think Gettleman's ultimately the decision maker, and he was probably pretty set on Barkley. But I'm sure there were some people going, hey, you sure about this? We really like this Darnold kid. No, we're going to take Barkley. Okay.
It was very interesting.
So the Skins pick, what, 13 tonight?
Yeah, so they're
44th overall. JP says when we come back, we're up against a break. Let's go through some of the guys you think they're targeting.
Cool.
Right? Because that's going to be an impactful player.
Got I like nicknames. Seahawk, Bick, KC.
Yeah, that's your thing.
Is NHL Network owned by NBC Sports? Because then we would technically be colleagues.
I don't know. I'd have to look into it.
No idea.
Seahawk, do you know that answer?
I do not.
But Seahawk was going to fill us in on what he thinks the Redskins might do here in the second round.
So you're going back to Ashburn today?
Yes.
What time
and
you,
tomorrow.
What time will you be there today?
Probably about the same time, 7-ish.
The second round actually starts at 7, correct? Or does it start later?
Actually, I got to double check that. Maybe I'll be there earlier.
I thought it started.
One day at a time.
It might start 7:30.
Where do you guys hang out?
It's the media annex, it's a little building that's off of the main building, siloed away.
It's not fun.
I mean, it's fun in that it's a good group, as you guys know, guys like John Keim, J.P. Finley, Rich Tandler, like we're all in there, Kimberly Martin and Kareem Copeland from the Post. So it's a good crew. We have a good time. There's a lot of
kind of a wait and see job. Like you're sitting in there. You have your.
I mean, it's kind of funny because someone like Kimberly has sources around the league because she's covered multiple teams. So like she broke the Bills pick last night, sitting 10 feet from me, and it's like. Mm-hmm. That just happened over there. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of wait and see, yeah.
So she broke the trade up to get Allen?
No, she broke Allen once it happened. She was the first one I saw who had that pick.
Oh, I got you.
All right, so it's always interesting the second round because you have a bunch of guys who had alleged first round grades, right? And when you look at it, you see 7 or 8 guys at least that might be nice targets for the Redskins. And the one that we were talking about during the break is the guard Hernandez, right? That
makes
a lot of sense.
I don't see how he lasts till 44, but good God, if he does, if they don't take him, that's just mind-numbing.
I mean,
I'm not that familiar with him other than last night watching.
Huge, really strong, like one of the best bench press guys, which
he's like 350 pounds.
Yeah, he's massive. He's enormous. And a guy who a lot of teams do have a first-round grade on, it's just that he's a guard, and so... Right. Positional value, you're not going to go reach in there. You thought he'd go in the 20s, but if for them, where they have a need at left guard...
Are they comfortable, by the way, with the health of both of their tackles now?
As healthy as you can be when they're not going to be ready to training camp. I mean, they're on pace, but they're not going to be ready till training camp. So.
They believe come September, Morgan Moses, Trent Williams, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, that tackle was not deemed a need for them in this draft. So Hernandez would definitely be a guy to look at. I think there's some other guys too that are super intriguing just from their talent level. Josh Jackson of Iowa was a guy I saw mocked.
That's Cakes' guy.
I saw it mocked as high as 10.
Yeah, he really hasn't worked out for the Phoenix Suns, in my opinion. But
he actually put up numbers late in the season. But this Josh Jackson, I mean, if he's there, I don't think he's going to last that long. But he has to be considered. By the Skins.
Yeah, I mean, he's long. He's kind of built like Norman is. Yep. Long, athletic, little thinner, but big enough to be physical. And so if he could eventually be your Norman replacement. I mean, Rich Chandler wrote about this a couple weeks ago, and I don't think it got nearly enough run. The Redskins cap situation in 2019 is bad.
Is it?
And the guy that makes the most sense to free up the most space to let go is Norman. Yeah. And so while Moreau and Dunbar are on the roster now, and you think those are probably in an ideal situation, those are their starters for the future, getting a guy as talented as Jackson could easily knock one of those guys out.
Do you think Geis and Jones will both be there at the running back spot at 44? And if they're both there and they go running back, who do you think the Redskins would take?
I would think Geis, but I know they met with Jones a couple times too. I mean, Kyle Smith was out at the USC Pro Day. He was right front and center as everyone's watching Sam Darnold throw. I went back and I'm like, oh, wait, that's Kyle. And they weren't there watching Darnold. I mean, they were to a point because everyone you want to have a good feel for everyone. Mm-hmm. But they were much more interested in guys like Ronald Jones. So I know they like a lot of these running backs. I had a conversation with a guy a couple weeks ago. And I named about 4 or 5 running backs and said, hey, so that second tier, do you guys feel like you can get someone at 44? You know, Penny, and started naming guys. He goes, yeah, I like all those guys. And some you didn't name. I'm not giving you a number.
Yeah.
So they like a lot of these guys. So I don't know who they would take in that situation. Would be Geis.
The problem is they don't have the third round.
Penny was drafted by the Seahawks.
Yep. How many running backs went in the first round?
Three.
Yeah. Barkley, Penny, and who's
Michelle.
The other one?
Michelle.
Went to the Patriots.
Because I remember we had Charlie on, and I always put a lot of stock in Charlie, and he said he had 5 or 6 guys that he was high on.
But see, that's the thing. Since you don't have the third rounder, if you skip on the RB in the second round,
you're not going to get one.
Now you're looking at a fourth round guy.
You got to bank on and that pick being there in the
fourth.
You're
looking at the 2018 version of Samaje Perine.
But honestly, what's a bigger need? Running back? Let's assume Chris Thompson comes back healthy because he was dynamic.
Line.
Or you're going to start with Ari Quanjo. I love him, the Matha kid, but he's been cut and released several times. He's a backup at this point in the league.
Yeah, they're both pretty big. Again, if you feel like you can get a running back, a good one in the fourth round, then you probably take the interior.
So part of this is the pool of players. And the people that know things about offensive line play say this is a really, really deep draft at guard. So I think there might be a better chance to get a quality guard in the fourth than a quality running back, where you have a group of really good running backs, that one of whom might be available at 44.
I'll buy that.
Now, Geis, what is his, like, supposedly his stock has dropped a little bit because of off-the-field stuff. And I followed it loosely. Did he make up stuff about his interviews? Or what?
No one's really been able to put it exactly what happened. But, you know, he said that he was asked controversial and inappropriate questions at the combine.
Doing
his sexuality and his, basically the Dez Bryant questions. And
because this is
clearly a family,
like,
yeah, clearly a family friendly show. So I'm being very nondescript. you guys have a reputation.
Clearly,
you know?
Yeah, sure.
So he either made that up. He seemed to have made that up, or just embellished the story that he wasn't
so
really. He's asked
issues.
Some stuff. And so it comes down to, like, if teams can trust him, or is he just a knucklehead that doesn't know what to say and
did
what not to say.
Did he get in any trouble at LSU?
But not any, I was told by one scout, not really like a model student, but who cares? He's not going to class in the pros.
I mean, who cares about
algebra?
He wasn't
failing drug tests or anything.
No, good kid, maybe a little immature, but nothing more than that. No reason that he should have been dropping like this. Like, this scout was upset that this kid was getting dragged. He's like, this is ridiculous. I don't know why this would be happening. Whether it's a team sabotaging or whatever it is, like, this is ridiculous. So, if the Redskins draft guys, I think you can feel pretty good about it. They've definitely done their homework. They met with him three times. And they got people down in that area of the country that they can trust.
I think they're going to take him if he's there.
I think they would too.
I think they're going to take guys if he's there.
I think
44.
They would too.
I know you were big. Whenever we'd have you on, you were big on Michelle. Now he's gone.
Yeah.
Were you a fan of Chubb?
No, I think Nick Chubb's a good player. Like, I think that, one, obviously, their O-line was really good. They just had Isaiah Wynn get taken, who's a first-round caliber guy. They got a couple of other pros on that offensive line. Their run scheme is really, really good. So there's some systemic things there at Georgia that set those guys up for success. But Chubb also, like, he's pretty quick. He and Michelle's 40s at the combine were not that different.
Yeah.
Now, Michelle plays a hell of a lot faster. Like, Sony Michelle is clearly bad at track. We need to work on his 40 start, because he's way faster than what he ran at the combine. But Chubb's a powerful guy. He's been consistent over his four-year career at Georgia. He's had a little bit. He had the one really gruesome bad injury a couple years ago, but came back from that to be a 1,000-yard back. If they take Nick Chubb, I'm all right with it. He's better than Samaje Perine, flat out.
Yeah.
So they'll have options.
Yeah, because Michelle was always characterized as like the outside the tackle guy, and Chubb was always the inside the tackle guy. But they're pretty much,
they both
similar.
Could do both, really.
That's what I'm saying. They're pretty similar.
Michelle's a more electric player, for sure. I think the question is, like, how do you feel about these guys? And this is the smaller, minute stuff, but it's the stuff that matters. It might be the separator. How are they in pass protection, right? So if you're the first and second down back in the Redskins offense, you better well know how to pass protect. Your identification skills must be high. Your actual blocking skills must be high. And so, whether that's a guy like Ronald, how are you as a back out of the backfield, as a receiver? So whether that's Ronald Jones, Nick Chubb, whoever else is available, some of these guys that maybe we're not as obvious. I think that's the kind of the separator, because they're all obviously really talented runners.
Who's going to be on the outside looking in if they draft a running back in the second round or fourth round? I mean,
I would think Rob Kelly.
Yeah, right.
I would think, but I think he's going to have a chance to compete. I mean, there's no way they cut Perine, but they could keep four. I mean, they kept four last year until they had to cut Mac Brown. And the only reason they cut Mac Brown was because they needed the 13-0 lineman that one week, and they were going to re-sign him on Monday if the Vikings didn't pick him up, and then the Vikings picked him up.
Right.
So they could go in, but whoever that fourth, so they're keeping, those third and fourth guys are, they better be ready to play special teams.
So they're keeping Perine over Kelly.
I would think
because of the investment.
Draft capital, but unless Perine just looks like
Perine
dog.
Was a dud to me.
Yeah, unless he looks like
he
dog crap.
He was a dud.
He had some big games.
He played okay towards the end, but he was a big disappointment.
Yeah.
Couldn't get the third and one against New Orleans.
that was
a terrible play call, though. Terrible play call.
Niles Paul blocked somebody. That's conversion.
What happens to this quarterback sneak? I mean, the Patriots get like 8 yards on quarterback sneaks.
Does Alex Smith ever sneak? I wonder.
Yeah,
that's an interesting question.
I think so. He's big.
Because we never called him. We have an inch to go, and we never call him. Why not quick snap?
It was literally third and inches. If they get that, they win that game.
Not in Gruden's playbook, apparently.
One of the 18 plays in that game. If they get this one.
I know, but that was the one. That was the one that was critical.
All right, Craig, thanks for joining us in studio. It's Craig Hall.
How do you grade the first round pick? Just give it a grade.
B+.
All right. What would have made it an A for you?
A little bit better value.
Vita Vea?
Vita Vea. Right. Yeah.
They trade down to like 15, 16, get the same guy. A.
Hey. I'm telling you, Vita Vea would have filled two voids. They could have played him at running back.
Who do you think they're taking at 44?
I have no idea.
I know.
You think running back? You think they're going to go running back? You kind of convinced me.
Give us a player. Give us a name.
Chubb.
Really?
I'll go Nick Chubb.
Then we can play Chubb Rock all the time.
Yes,
we Justin too.
And then I'm going to 100% tweet Chubb for Chubb.
Yes.
Apparently, if your last name's Chubb, you're really good at football.
So we've learned.
Right. You just are.
Right?
Yep. That's Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter. You can read his work at thefandc.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.